see the grace eternal. Taste and see that God is good. All who hunger, gather gladly. Holy manna is a bread. Come from wilderness and wandering. Here in truth we will be fed. You that yearn for days of fullness.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. This holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen.
us pray. O God, eternal goodness, immeasurable love, you place your gifts before us. We eat and are satisfied. Fill us and this world in all its need with the life that comes only from you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
A reading from Exodus. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots filled with meat and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you. And each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for the Lord has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" Word of God, word of life.
Our psalm this evening is Psalm 78, verses 23 to 29. We're going to sing a simple refrain in three parts, before the psalm and after the psalm. And this is the first part. This is good for people who consider themselves sopranos, but let's all learn it right now. Oh, bread from heaven, oh, bread from heaven. Oh, bread from heaven. Oh, bread from heaven again. Oh, bread from heaven. Oh, bread from heaven. This is part two. It's good for those who consider themselves altos or anyone. Let's all learn it. Sounds like this. Oh, bread from heaven. Oh, bread from heaven. Oh, bread from heaven. Oh, bread from heaven again. Oh, bread from heaven. Oh, bread from heaven. Part three for our tenors and basses. Oh, bread from heaven, oh, bread from heaven, oh, bread from heaven, oh, bread from heaven,
oh, bread from heaven,
oh. Brilliant. Let's sing it together. I promise to give you clues along the way. Psalm 78. Oh, bread from heaven, oh, bread from heaven, oh, bread from heaven, oh, bread. Keep going, sopranos. Altos join with part two. Oh, bread from heaven, oh, bread from heaven. Those two parts again. Oh, bread from heaven, oh, bread from heaven. Tenors and basses. Oh, bread. Clouds above and open the doors of heaven, raining down manna upon them to eat and giving them grain from heaven. So mortals ate the bread of angels. God provided for them food enough. The Lord caused the east wind to blow in the heavens and powerfully let out the south wind, raining down flesh upon them like dust and flying birds like the sand of the seas, letting them fall in the midst of a camp and around about the dwellings. So the people ate and were well filled, for God gave them what they craved. Oh, bread from heaven, oh, bread from heaven, oh,
reading from the book of Ephesians. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing, and with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gifts Christ gave us were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro, blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love. We must grow up in every way into the one who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Word of God, word of life.
Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were beside the sea, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is the Son of Man that God, the Father, has sealed." Then they said to Jesus, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one whom God has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Sing it with me if you can. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. There are a lot of ways that you can worship, so many ways that you can worship, so many prayers you can pray. You can write your own, you can amend old ones. There are like a million ways that we can do this work of worship together. But it seems like no matter what liturgy I put together, I want there to be that line. I want there to be that Kyrie. Because I think that the Kyrie, that line in particular, is so spot on. This prayer, the Kyrie, is our deep prayer for peace. The peace that's like really way down deep, that tells us we're okay, that grounds our life, that makes it possible for us to move forward. That is our prayer in the Kyrie. And then the last line of the Kyrie, it's like, yes, but if you want that peace, there's a couple things you have to give up. Helping, saving, comforting, and defending us. It's like, I think there was a line in that prayer that must have gotten dropped off in the translation from Latin to English, because it's help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. And I think there should be a second part that's because we get ourselves really, 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 really off track by trying to do those things for ourselves. I mean, worlds of trouble trying to do those things for ourselves. Trying to help ourselves. I think it was December or January, and I was cross-country skiing down the tailings, and there was 7 or 8 feet of snow, maybe 5, I don't know, but it was more than I am. And I fell off of my skis, and they don't like just come off, so the skis are up, and I can't get them off, and I have to push myself up. But every time I go to push myself up out of the snow, I'm sinking farther down into the snow. There was no helping myself out of that situation. Trying to save ourselves, trying to defend ourselves. If I asked you to recall those stories of the times you attempted to save and defend yourself, most of those tales are going to come as some kind of a nightmarish quality. But the part of that prayer that our scriptures today highlight is the part about comfort. Help save comfort and defend us, gracious God, because heaven knows that so many of our attempts at comforting ourselves lead us right back into Pharaoh's land. Cue the ancient Israelites. All right, ancient Israel has lived under Pharaoh for quite some time. When Pharaoh rises to power at the beginning of the book of Exodus, the first thing he does is he commissions a bunch of midwives to try to get these people exterminated from birth. He makes them slaves. He tries to diminish them. This is no light lifestyle. This is heavy tyranny and oppression, heavy captivity that the Israelites are living under. Where we find them today, they have come out of the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army is drowned behind them. They have arrived at freedom. They walk for about 3 days and they get thirsty. Legit. God makes bitter water into sweet water for them and leads them to Elim, where there are 12 springs of sweet water and 70 palm trees. So day 3 in the wilderness, not too shabby. But then they walk for another month, and this is where we find them. They've been walking for another month, and we have got a severe case of hanger on our hands as the Israelites start. And Nick, you read it so beautifully, but I think the inflection is more like, if only we had died in Egypt, where at least we could have eaten our fill of the bread. But no, Moses, you had to bring us out here to kill us of hunger. Kill us. Do you see what's going on here? The calling to which the Israelites have been called, which is freedom, is being thwarted by their bellies, is being thwarted by their desire for comfort. They are tempted. They have lived in captivity for most of their lives. And here, 1 month into freedom, they are tempted to trade their freedom in for captivity on account of their discomfort. And on the one hand, that seems insane because you wanted freedom for so long and it's here and you're just going to run back to Egypt over this. But on the other hand, we totally understand. Because when you're looking out over your life And you've stepped out into something new and foreign, even if it's something you wanted. And you don't know the terrain, and you don't know how it's all going to end, and you don't have a map, and you don't know where the source of your bread is going to come from, and the signposts that once pointed the way are not there. This is a very real and a very excruciatingly painful discomfort. It's a discomfort that can upend us and unravel us. It can take us to that deep down wondering, like, am I okay? Which can quickly mutate to, am I an okay person? I mean, nothing in my life makes sense. The path that I'm on is crazy town. We're just wandering at this point with no clear end in sight. And that must mean I'm not okay. It's a discomfort that calls our entire identity into question. And when we get to that point, we'll do anything to satiate that discomfort, even run all the way back to Egypt, to captivity, to the flesh pots, to whatever it takes. And this is where Christ meets us. With one foot headed back to Egypt and the other on a banana peel, this is where Christ meets us and changes our course. The hunger that we present at this point is for bread, for comfort, for a full belly, more loaves and fishes, please, Jesus. But God sees right through our presenting hunger to the deeper stuff and effectively says, what you need is not the bread that I gave you at the feeding of the 5,000, which you'll just have to eat more of in 5 hours when the hunger sets in again. What you need isn't the perishable stuff at this point. Your deep hunger is to know in your heart of hearts that you are okay. The wilderness is insane, but you are okay. The Lutheran code language for this is you are justified. Brené Brown would say that you are worthy of love and belonging. We are hungry to know that we are okay, that we are going to be okay, even if nothing around us points to the reality that we are okay. And here is how we get there. So there's this talk in our gospel passage today of believing in Jesus. Jesus tells us that our work is to believe in him whom God has sent, believing in Jesus, which is a highly loaded phrase. But what if believing in Jesus, in this case, means believing what the guy says about you? What if what believing in Jesus means is that we base our reality not upon the chaos of the wilderness and what we feel that that says about us. But what if believing in Jesus meant that we based our reality on what God has to say about us? Which, despite what you've heard, is not that you are too gay or too brown, or too black, or too young, or too old, or too new, or too divorced, or too dysfunctional, or too Republican, or too Democrat, or too unchurched, or too lost, or too far into the weeds of your life to be okay. Because what God actually says over us, always and forever, is, you are okay. You are my beloved, you are my child, and you will never, never, no matter how far into the wilderness you get, not be okay with me. Which is the promise that, like manna, was rained down upon us at our baptisms. Which is the message we receive about ourselves, about our community, every time we partake of the Eucharist. Which is the truth that we hold up for each other whenever we choose to be church for one another. So, do you see what I'm talking about? We are a hungry bunch. We're wandering around here in uncharted territory as church, as family, as Holden, as people. Seriously hungry to know that we're not too far gone. And we have been looking for the assurance of that in external markers. We've been thinking that we could prove that we're not too far gone by our ability to help save, comfort, or defend ourselves by consuming all this perishable stuff. But Jesus meets us with our presenting hunger and says, heck no! Your okayness comes not from that stuff, but from God. You are not too far gone. Because God says you're not too far gone, and God kind of has the authority to call those shots as the author of reality. And when this truth fills our bellies, we can stop running from captor to eat our fill. And we don't have to pound down the doors of Egypt in order to get the bread that we think we need. In Exodus, I don't know if you caught it, it says, "And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, promising them the bread from heaven, they looked toward the wilderness." They, who had been looking only backwards at Egypt, look toward the wilderness. When God's truth fills our bellies, we have the peace for which we have been praying, that deep down peace that grounds our life. We can be okay even when things are not okay. When God's truth fills our bellies, we can quit chasing after the ways that we help save, comfort, and defend ourselves. We can stop longing for Egypt, and we can actually turn toward the wilderness again, toward the uncomfortable endeavor that we call freedom, and take another step and lean again into the calling to which we have been called, down paths as yet untrodden, through the perils unknown, never having to be hungry again. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you. for the church, the world, and all who are in need. I will end each petition with God in your mercy, to which you will reply, receive our prayer. We pray for the church and for all people. Unite us in our shared calling to proclaim hospitality, love, and freedom. Empower us gathered today to be your servants of the gospel by sharing the radical good news of resurrection. God, in your mercy. For Mother Earth, renew your creation with seasonable weather and growth. Protect plants and animals from all damage. We pray especially for the wildfires, those displaced humans and animals alike. Protect all who are fighting and comfort those who grieve. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
For the nations, bring peace to communities torn apart by violence. Bring an end to gun violence. Guide all refugees to safety. Give peace to those who are living in fear of deportation during this immigration crisis and the conflict on our southern border. We pray for our leaders, Donald, Jay, Chuck, and Peg. Enlighten and guide them so that they might strive for peace and justice for all. God, in your mercy, for those in need, shelter the homeless, protect those who suffer abuse or neglect, befriend the lonely, give peace to the dying, comfort the bereaved, and heal the sick. Dismantle the sinful systems that cause many to live in fear. God, in your mercy, for all Holden staff, teaching faculty, and guests, bless this time in the village. Free us from fear, renew us in faith, and empower us to combat the oppressive powers of this world, knowing that it is from this very place that we are strengthened to do your work in the world. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
With thanksgiving, we remember those who have died and all who yearn for the fulfillment of your Easter promise of resurrection and life. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
Joining our voices with your faithful ones in every time and place, we offer our prayers in the name of the risen one, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Share Christ's peace.
You bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts towards those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. To you, God, from before the beginning, God bearing from above your word of grace, God sending us on the dove of peace. You are the great I am, feeding your people with manna in the wilderness. You are the Father, our beloved Jesus, whom you gave to the world to be the Lamb, the King of Israel, the Son of Man. You anointed Jesus to be our Messiah and teacher. He is the bread from heaven, the fruitful vine, the good shepherd, the gate of protection, the very Lord and God, our way, our truth, and our resurrection to life eternal. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it for all, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Breathe. With Lazarus, we wait in our tomb. We hear you call our name, and we come out from our death into your life. Breathe your spirit upon us. Nourish us with your living water and sustain us with the body and blood of your Son. Claim us as your friends. Birth us anew and enlighten our eyes. Unbind us that as your servants we may unbind one another. Glory to you, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the source of all, the light of the world, the advocate for your children. Blessing and thanksgiving and honor and might be to you forever and ever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours. Now and forever. Amen. These are God's gifts. You are God's people. Come and be fed. Thank you.
We sing together hymn 469, 469. Four seven two.
Trust in me.
474.
Thank you.
Please stand. May God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine, grant you the gifts of faith and hope. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen. Our sending song is hymn number 720. 720.